In the book of the Acts, chapter 26, and part of verse 22. The book of the Acts, chapter 26, and part of the 22nd verse. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day. We find in the context of how that Paul has been brought into the presence of outstanding characters, Agrippa the king and Bernice, and Festus, and the chief captains and the principal men of the city. They are all here collected in the place of hearing. Surely it would be a matter for a man who is but flesh and blood so to have trembled in the realization of such an august company. But we do not find anything of the sort in Paul. Rather, he said, I think myself happy. In other words, I think myself privileged, so to speak, before this company which is here gathered before me. I'm privileged to have this occasion, so to stand and to declare the wonderful things that God hath indeed done for me, to speak to you of the past of what I was, to speak to you of the present, and to that position into which God has brought me, and to speak of that which shall yet be set before me in the accomplishment of God's will concerning me. Thus, when he came to the conclusion of his address, he so had to declare that having therefore obtained help of God, he had continued until that day. But we are very sure that this is not only the testimony that Paul has to give. We are assured that everyone who knows aught of the dealings of God with them must likewise come to the same decision, must likewise have to testify unto the same truth, that they have obtained help of God, and that is the only reason why they continue unto this day. So our first thought as we consider these words is this. He is declaring unto them that is the only reason as to why he was there at all. If it had not been for the appearance of God unto him, if it had not been for the commission that was laid upon him by God, he would never have been found in that position which he now occupied. Yes, it is only by reason of that which God had done for him, that he was there. Look then unto thyself. Thou art here this morning. You are gathered around his word. You desire to be instructed in the mysteries of true godliness. You desire to have that persuasion and that assurance within your own soul that God hath indeed wrought his works within you. Why are you here? Is there no looking back by you into the past? Is there not the awareness that but for the grace of God you would have been found in a very different place and in a very different atmosphere to that in which you are now gathered? You look back and you see that there has been a wonderful interposition in your life. That which you knew not has been made known unto you by the Spirit of the living God. That there has been a working within your heart, whereby there has been a will, a willingness, so to attend unto those things which the Lord hath so commanded thee. Why are you here? Is it that then which resulteth from self? I know that there are many that may gather in the house of God out of habit. They may hear the word of God and assimilate it in the natural understanding and think that that is all that is necessary, and yet may be strangers unto that wherein the Lord hath wrought within their own souls the truth of those things which are contained within his word. But is it not in that wherein you have obtained help of God that you are here in his presence this morning? In the presence of one who is far and beyond King Agrippa and Bernice and Festus, the one concerning whom you would indeed testify of the great things that he has done for you. Yes, if God had not indeed attended your way, if he had not directed you in your course, if he had not undertaken for you in all those matters that concerned you, would you have been here this morning? Why am I here? Do I have then to look back and consider the wonder of the divine grace which has been demonstrated in the individual case? But it is not simply that I come because somebody else comes, but that there is a drawing power at work within the heart. There is the irresistible force of the divine love that so draws me toward himself. There is that wherein there is that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you may indeed be filled with the riches of the kingdom of God. You come because you realize that apart from him, you are undone, you are lost, you are ruined. What is it that has kept thee? What is it that has maintained thee? What is it that has sustained thee in these things? Is not God the author of it? Has he not been the divine worker in your soul? Has he not so brought you to love and to fear his name? And you have proved this, that you cannot keep your own soul alive, that you need his constant visitation. You need that he should indeed draw near unto you, that he should refresh your soul and enliven you in the things of God, because you're utterly dependent upon him. You cannot produce it. You cannot bring it forth naturally. No, the things that you delight in is the work that God effected within your soul concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. You have obtained help of God. And that, says Paul, As I stand before you, King Agrippa, and I so witness unto the things that God hath done for me, is the only reason as to why I am here. If he had not done these things for me, I should have still have been at Jerusalem, pursuing that murderous course that I was set upon. But blessed be God, the light shone upon me. It revealed Jesus Christ, caused me to hear his voice. Yes, and he possessed my soul by his Holy Spirit. It's not only the fact that it's the only reason as to why he was there. It is because it is according unto the word of the Lord. Even after his call by grace, Paul would have said to do certain things. He would have gone in certain directions. But the Lord, the Spirit, stepped in and prevented it. Because he was at the complete disposal of God, the Holy Ghost. Yes, not only then was he here because of what God had done for him, but it was that wherein the Lord was with him then. He knew it, he felt it. Yes, he was in the way of the Lord. He was in the will of God. He was under the superintendence of that divine grace which directed all his steps. That is why he can declare, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Did not the Lord, he might have declared, and he did in a previous chapter to this one, did not the Lord so speak to me and declare, Paul, as thou hast testified of me at Jerusalem, so must thou bear testimony unto me at Rome? Well, I'm in the way. I'm going to Rome. It doesn't matter what your thoughts, what your aims or designs may be concerning me. To Rome I shall eventually go, and there I shall witness according to the word of the Lord. Yes, blessed be his name. If God hath indeed so directed his steps, they will be according to his word. You will find that his will be made known unto you through his word. And if you attempt to go to another place, if you attempt to do something different, then there will be that stepping in by the Holy Spirit, whereby the way will be blocked up, it will be prevented, and you will be utterly unable to fulfill your own natural design. Thy way, yes, it is utterly under the direction of the Lord. Having obtained help of God, in the light of all the past deliverances that I have received of him, I continue unto this day. His mind could have gone unto Damascus. His mind could have gone unto Philippi when he was in the prison with Silas. His mind could have gone to Corinth. Yes, in all these things he had been given to know the wonderful deliverance of his God on his behalf. Oh, many places would come to his recollection. Those seasons wherein he was prepared to give up everything for loss, Those times when his own faith seemed to falter and almost fail. Yet God had delivered him out of it all. He had obtained the help of God. And you too can look over the past. And you look at those seasons wherein you seem to be utterly at a loss to know what to do. You can remember the temptations that came at that time. You can remember the many trials through which you had to pass. You remember the buffetings of Satan. You remember how that you were brought, as it were, to a dead end. You didn't know where the scene was going to end. You were almost ready to give everything up. But no, the Lord came, and the Lord delivered you. And he caused all that which was against you so to act for your good. Wonderful is the Lord in his counsel and his instruction. Truly, as doth one say in the word of God concerning him, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. And have you not proved it? Yes, those times wherein it was nothing but darkness. Those times wherein you were brought to an end of all hope. Those times when you were brought to a sense of your own utter destitution. And yet the Lord delivered you. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Because in all these things God's approbation was made known concerning his servant. God's favor was toward him. Do you ask the reason as to why you have to pass through such mysterious ways? That wherein your own natural reason is completely baffled? That wherein your own strength is brought down into utter weakness? Oh, it is in that wherein God's favor is towards you. And he would make thee to know wherein thy help did lie. He would bring thee to himself, that you might find in him the source of every blessing. And to that end, he has led and guided you up to this present moment of time. And you look back and you stand amazed. You wonder how on earth you ever came through it all. All those times wherein you were ready, as it were, to give everything up. And yet God's favor was toward you. You obtained help in the hour of need. God looked with approbation upon his servant in all those circumstances into which he entered. He gave him a song in the prison. Yea, he gave him many blessings in those times of persecution and of trial. He drew near unto him in the night, and he spoke unto him, and he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul." Yes, and we think of God's favor toward us. We think of the upliftings. We think of the times that he raised us up. We think of the times when he strengthened us in the inner man. We think of the times wherein he enabled us to believe, notwithstanding everything that might seem to be against us. Yes. It is God's favor toward his own. you have obtained help of the Lord. But God had always been his defender in his witness. As he declares here, he had gone about witnessing both to small and great, to the Jew and to the Gentile, and it brought him into much persecution. It brought him into sore straits at times, and it brought him into many councils wherein he was judged, and all the judgment that was passed concerning him was that all they who did so testify against him were liars, that the evidence that they produced, it was utterly impossible to piece it together and to cause it to run true. Yes, in every case, there was one who was going to defend him against all the efforts of the enemy to bring him to naught. The enemy that so constantly conspired against him, because he was going to the very root of that wherein their own Pharisaism did so consist. And there is no more bitter persecution that can ever come to a man than when it comes from them who are of his own people, and when it comes from them in whom he has had familiar intercourse within days gone by, and yet by reason of the Lord's dealings with him, they have become his avowed enemies. How Paul proved it. Ah, Paul, is it hardly worth going on? Can you stand it much longer? See how that every turn that you take, it seems as though there is some enemy in the way. Still he perseveres. Still he continues. Why? Having obtained help of God. But even as you think of this, you realize it was inevitable that it should be so, because God never failed him. Not once had God failed him. Are you going to stand up, you who know this precious Lord? Are you going to stand up and say that God has failed you? What in the light of that word wherein he declared, I will not fail thee, I will not forsake thee, I will not leave thee. Everything else may go, but I remain. I am thy God. I am thy keeper. Yes, I am thy helper. And God never failed his servant, and he never failed yet one of his own dear people. Oh, yes, it is as we pass through the agonizing trials that may beset us in life. It is as that which is relative to the work of God within us is put to the test and tried both by fire and by flood, that we are brought to know the reality of it, that that which is of us, it is not in itself, and that that which is of God is unfailing. It continues. Oh, what a blessed realization for you to be brought to. Not to seek in yourself any ability. Not to seek in yourself that wherein you may want some strength in these things. But to know what it is that a poor and weak and worthless worm to fall into the care and the keeping of that one who hath never failed thee. Yes, it affected him every way. But I want to come to this for a moment. I want to take these words, and I want, as it were, to look into the meaning of them. What does he declare? He says, having. Having. He's talking of the help of God. He says, having it. It has been a personal experience. It's been a personal matter. It's been that which has been unto me a direct contact betwixt my soul and God. And in that wherein it has been so personal, I have known him in all those matters and concerns which are relative to my life. And in that wherein it has been so personal that I have had this, so it is positive. It is that which I cannot deny. It is that which I cannot pass over and say, oh, well, it was only a happening, an event. No, says he, I have not only that which is personal, but I have that which is positive in my experience. It's not a matter of imagination. It's not a matter of my reasoning these things out. It's that which I know he hath done. It is positive. I have it. And not only is it personal, and not only is it positive, but it is possessed by me. I have it. That help, yes, I have it. It is possessed by me. And having, he says, obtained. Ah, what does this word mean? Surely it means the reception. He had received it. There is no question about it. It's clear, it's lucid, it's plain unto him that he had received that help. Can you not join with him in that? Why are you here? Here again, I ask this morning. Is it not because of that which you have received of him? That wherein he has put into the possession of your heart, that which is vital and real, that which is living? Oh, yes. Says Paul, I've received. I've obtained it. And not only have I received it, but it's been a blessed and a positive reality to me. In the very reception of it, how real it has been. It isn't simply something that I may, as it were, dress up in a certain amount of words and so seek to testify concerning. It is something that comes out of the very depths of my being, because it's such a reality unto me. I have obtained, and in that wherein I have known the reality, in the very fact of the word obtained, there has been, yes, recognition. God has looked upon his servant. What a wonderful thing if you can join in language like this. So sure, so certain, no dilly-dallying about matters, but positive in all its enunciation, having obtained help of God. He says, help? Yes. He has had assistance. He realized that he could not have taken a step of that way apart from the divine assistance. Oh yes, the way of man, which is in himself, he is quite capable of fulfilling his own desires. But oh, when it comes to a character who is so taught and instructed by the Lord, then he finds it to be a very different state of affairs. It is that wherein he needs assistance every step of the way. Why? Because he's conscious of himself. And he's conscious of the delusions and the deceptions that arise out of his own heart. And he needs to be kept and he needs to be preserved and separated from these things. And he says, the Lord has assisted me. And in that wherein he has given this help, there has been power. Power. No weakness in that wherein he hath assisted me. There has been the power of accomplishment. The power of fulfillment, the power to bring to pass that which he had so designed concerning me. And not only assistance and power in that wherein I have had this help, but oh, the wondrous grace which has been manifested. For who am I, might Paul truly have said. Oh, when I remember the past, when I remember how that I went so murderously about, so to bring to death all that called upon his name, who am I that I should have this wondrous help afforded unto me? This grace which has been brought unto me at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, that is the help. But he says, of God. God is my helper. Can you not say it? Does not your heart, as it were, witness unto the same truth? Can you not take these words and bind them to your own breast and say they are the very language of your own soul's experience? God has been my helper. God has been my sufficiency. There has been no lack in him. In that wonderful God of knowledge, that God who so watched over me, that God who so appointed the way for me to walk out, the God who has never failed me all the days of my life, oh, the wonder of his sufficiency for every case and for every circumstance and for every experience and for every pathway. Yes, and he is my keeper. I have obtained help of God and I am kept by him. That's the secret. Yes, and therefore he comes in with that word, doesn't he? He says, therefore. In other words, he says, there is a cause for it. There has been a reason for it. And there is the effect. Therefore, the cause. It is in God and God alone. The reason, by reason of his own determinate counsel concerning me in Christ Jesus, that wherein in favor he looked upon me, and the effect, here I stand, he says, before you, to testify unto these things. I have told you my past. I have told you what an enemy I was of Jesus Christ. I have told you, too, of how that he brought me to the knowledge of himself, how that he opened my eyes and unstopped my ears, how that he turned my feet into the way of truth. Yes. Therefore, he's the cause of it all. Oh, what a blessed thing it is when you can look back and you say, no, it was not I. It was my God that did these things for me. If I'd had my way, I should still have gone on, poor Midas said, exactly as I had done. So would you. So would I. But determined to save, he watched o'er your path, when Satan's blind slave you spotted with death. Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, I still had lived, estranged from God. Yes, that is the cause, that is the reason, and herein is the effect. I can tell you that glorious Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has come to save, the one whose gospel he has given me to declare. So he brings us to the personal touch. I, he says, continue unto this day. I, such a sinner as I was. Only a man of flesh and blood. And now I am less than the least of all the saints. Yet all the wonder of this God that has so looked upon me and ministered unto me that ability and that help and that sufficiency. It is as though he would tell you God is his all. He finds everything in him. God is indeed continually with him to minister unto him. It is as though he would say, if he were to leave me for a moment, I should fall. Such a sinner as I am. But he says, I continue. I abide. I remain. I stand. In other words, by reason of the omnipotence of that God who is my helper, I cannot be moved. My heart is fixed. My mind is resolved. The Lord is everything to me. And therefore I continue, for I abide in him and he abideth in me. I remain. Simply because of that wherein his all-sufficiency has always availed me. Yes, and I stand by the grace of God unto this day. It takes in the past, it comes to the present. And it not only doeth that, but it enables him so to realize the effectiveness of the promise which had been made known unto him, and that that promise would be fulfilled, and he would continue until it came to pass, and he was found eventually at Rome. Yes, I continue, he says, still to declare the gospel of the grace of God, the word of his grace, and not only so, but the truth of it. And thus he would, as it were, conclude and declare, the Lord has led me, has guided me, he has governed me, has brought me to the place where I am. Therefore I continue unto this day. I continue in the truth, in Jesus. I continue in the old paths of the gospel. I continue in the strength of the Lord. Who shall more sweetly write than Paul when he spake of weakness? when he could speak of them who out of weakness were made strong, when he could say, I will go in the strength of the Lord and make mention of his righteousness and his only, although rather that was David, but remember how that Paul likewise said, my grace, he said, is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you like that verse? Do you like the fact of that promise? Remember, it's only going to be fulfilled in you and concerning you as you are found in perfect weakness. For if there's anything of your own in it, then it is not that wherein he declares of the perfection of the strength which is given unto you. May God in some measure graciously bless these few remarks, that he may enable you to look back and to laud and to praise his holy name for all he has done for you, the help that you have received, and still to go on to witness to all those that are around of that wherein you continue until this day. Amen. May the grace, the love, and the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with us each, now and evermore. Amen.